Right now, it's time to ask some questions about using AI to create art. I was actually at an event last Thursday night and was discussing with an artist the ethics behind this. Using AI to create art, is it a violation of copyright law? Joining us now to talk about it is Christian Stout. Christian is with the International Center for Law and Economics. He's the Director of Innovation. Christian, welcome to Talk 107.3. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Brian. How are you?
Doing very well. Glad to have you on here. When I saw the column that you had put out, a few questions and even fewer answers about what artificial intelligence will mean for copyright, I was instantly intrigued because we're going to be walking down this path thousands of times in the next few years. As ChatGPT grows, as AI continues to evolve, as kids are writing term papers without writing term papers, and everything therein, these questions are going to continue to come up. So I want to start with the most basic of questions from a legal standpoint. What are the few answers that you've gotten about artificial intelligence and copyright?
Great. Glad you like the column. Happy to talk more about this. So the basic problem for these AI systems is that in order for the machines to learn how to make the things we want them to make, they need to look at copies of things humans have already made. They don't actually generate something from nothing. They generate something from looking at what humans have already done. The problem for a lot of these systems is that that requires an ungodly amount of content in order to properly train them, billions of pieces of data. For systems like Stable Diffusion and DALL-E, definitely Stable Diffusion, there's a suit out there on them right now. What they essentially have been doing is crawling the web, looking for good quality images that are accompanied with captions that describe what those images are. And then, you know, they download them, the machines study the images, they study the captions, and then they're trained to, over a successive amount of attempts, to generate things that are like those things they looked at. Now, what that means is if they are accessing content that is copyrighted, I believe that they are most likely in violation of copyright law. And we can talk more about that if you want.
Okay, yes. The sifting through it to determine what they got from where feels like the impossible part.
Except there's funny instances where, so there's a big suit with Getty where they're suing one of the big providers of the image-based AI. One of the complaints in Getty's suit is a trademark violation because these AI systems will actually generate like a warped version of the Getty watermark on the images that they output. So they're sort of admitting like, oh, we actually use Getty's images in order to generate this training set.
Oops.
Yes, definitely an oops.
We're talking with Christian Stout from the International Center for Law and Economics. So as this is sifted through, are we going to see the same thing for all forms of art? When we say art, it can mean so many different things. You mentioned Getty, which would be photography, but this could also mean painting. It could also mean songwriting. It could also mean poetry. It could also mean a hundred different forms of art. Is there a way to sift through and find patterns and similarities to make it apply to the law?
Yeah, I mean, so here, what I think essentially is going to happen long term, the systems are, I don't want to come across as saying that we should not use these systems. They've got a lot of promise for society. We're still in early days. If you're looking at ChatGPT and some of the images, sometimes they're a little weird or disturbing. They're going to get better. They need this data. I think the goal of where we need to get to in the next year or two is that they're not just scraping the web for stuff and not paying for it. What these makers are going to realize is that they need to create a licensing arrangement with providers that represent artists and writers and musicians to just get access to this material, and then they figure out some way to help compensate the creators for the use of their work. I think that's the ultimate goal of what we're looking at.
Well, it sounds like it would almost be like a pay-per-click thing, which would be untenable to fuel the input side of the AI.
Possibly. I mean, I don't. One of the things I've learned over the years of my career is that I am really bad at predicting the market. People who want to make money are really good at figuring out ways to come to arrangements where everybody can make some money and the market can go on. It's entirely possible that you need some sort of like third-party broker who collects together content, makes arrangements with artists. Like, you know, it wouldn't be like bespoke, like for like, say, like a Rian or something, it would be something where you sign up, you say, hey, here's my material. I think I would like it to be trained, and I would like to get a few pennies every time a machine accesses it. That could generate revenue for a lot of people and still solve the problem when you solve it.
We're talking with Christian Stout from the International Center for Law and Economics about the use of AI in creating art. How much can we rely on the past to look to the future here? Like, is there, I don't want to say precedent, but a path that have been blazed before that can be followed in the law?
Well, so I actually do think there is pretty strong precedent in the post that you referenced. So first off, there's the people who are promoting the AI are generally right now relying on what's called a fair use argument, claiming that there should be an exception to copyright law for their use, which is a little complicated, so I won't go into the details, but that's what they're claiming. In the post that I wrote, I actually believe that the way that they're framing their arguments don't work and that they fall squarely within precedent. I believe that there are Supreme Court and appellate court cases that definitely point the way towards saying, no, you can't do what you're doing. You're going to need to pay licensing fees.
Fair use, though, I mean, fair use kind of goes out the window once you start turning coin off of it, right?
Not necessarily. I mean, that's a common misconception. If you're making money, that's a factor. So a fair use analysis is multifactorial, which is a fancy way of saying a judge looks at a whole bunch of evidence and says, squinting at it, this is fair or that's not fair. If you're making money, that's one factor, but it's not a determining factor.
Christian Stout is our guest. We are talking about using AI to create art. Christian, I got to ask you a very non-legal question. Sure. Is there value to art that was not created by humans?
That depends on who you ask. Personally, I actually do think there is. Maybe it's going to be hard to say that. So they're winning art contests with AI art right now. So some humans definitely think it is. I think that even if it's not in terms of like replacing Gauguin or, you know, Mondrian or something, what it's really useful for is coming up with clip art. It's really useful for coming up with ideas. So like I actually am an artist as a hobby. I'll use AI and I'll say something like, oh, show me something from this perspective with these kinds of elements, just to get an idea of different ways of arranging things. It's really useful for that kind of stuff.
I mean, but art evolves, well, yeah, for clip art, sure, but art involves so much emotion, either on the end of the artist or on the feeling or manipulation of emotion on the viewer's end. I don't know how you get that from an algorithm.
Well, you know, and I think you're raising a fair point here. So this is a much deeper problem, which is far beyond a radio segment. We don't know what consciousness is. We don't know what it is about humans that actually makes us capable of creating art. Like, there's no one that knows that, no scientist on Earth. Which means that these systems, we're pretty sure that they're not actually anything like conscious. They're really good at mimicking the way humans behave. And the implication there is that until we figure out how to make consciousness, which I'm not very optimistic about, all they can do is replicate what humans have done. They will always require human artists input art in order to teach them how to make human art.
Now, that moves us forward to the next question is, how important is it that from a legal standpoint, we get out in front of this now? Because AI, while we're looking at it, we're looking at it evolving very, very quickly. It's about to ramp up even more.
So, I tend to be slightly shy about trying to regulate things before we've seen what they can do. I do not believe that AI is going to end the world. I grew up on science fiction and Terminator. I don't think Skynet is about to happen. We will start to see some displacement of people and jobs because of automation, but we've seen that in different areas, even without AI. Legal frameworks right now are pretty robust, and courts are really good at parsing ambiguous facts. I would take more of a wait-and-see approach and look at the suit that, like, Getty is having to help figure out if the law is capable of handling problems where they arise, and if not, then we can enact them. I don't think AI is about to end the world, though.
We're talking with Christian Stout. Got another minute or so left. So if AI is not going to end the world, walk me through a few of the positives of how it will change us.
So, and this goes back to what I was saying earlier, it's really hard to predict how markets will evolve because humans are really good at finding tools and figuring out how to use those tools. What I think AI will be like is something like what cell phones and computers have been for us so far. You know, 30, 40 years ago, people had an economy that ran just fine. Then the computers came through. A lot of people had displacement, but then a lot of people also figured out how to use computers to augment human capacity to do tasks, routine, mundane tasks, much more quickly. AI, I think, is going to do the same thing. So, for instance, let's imagine, and I'm a lawyer, so I think about how lawyers make money a lot. And one of the things that lawyers are afraid of is that the AI is going to replace low-level associates who can read lots of documents and synthesize them for higher-level partners. In fact, what I think will happen is the AI will become a partner to these lawyers, will help digest thousands and thousands of pages and discoveries, synthesize them, and help them write rough drafts of things that then they have to be the experts that can vet them, finish them, and bring them to judges.
He is Christian Stout. He's been welcoming our computer overlords with the International Center for Law and Economics. Man, it's going to be a lot to unpack in the coming years. And yeah, humans are very, very innovative, and marketers find a way to ruin every one of those innovations. I appreciate a couple minutes this morning helping break it down.
All right. It was great to talk to you.
Likewise. We'll be talking in the future, no doubt. He is Christian Stout with the International Center for Law and Economics, their director of innovation.